Being a customer experience practitioner can be a lonely road for some. Customer experience is still relatively new as a professional field of work. And while organizations are beginning to recognize the benefits of establishing dedicated customer experience teams, many CX practitioners still operate as tiny customer-centric islands within a vast sea of competing corporate objectives. Even for those who are the sole dedicated advocates of customer experience within large businesses, it doesn't mean that you have to go it alone. In fact, there's a large and growing community of CX practitioners out there and many options to potentially connect. In 2011, several customer experience thought leaders in the US decided that it was time to create a formalized network. By creating an association that could help advance the profession through knowledge sharing, establishing a unified CX philosophy, and creating training standards. As such, the Customer Experience Professionals Association, or the CXPA, was born. Since then, this member-run, nonprofit industry body has grown from strength to strength, adding members, expanding into other regions beyond the US, and creating the Certified Customer Experience Professionals designation, which is the only internationally recognized accreditation in the field of customer experience. More recently, the CXPA published its core values, designed to help individual members understand the standards and expectations of those involved in the field. As more and more companies focus on customer experience as a competitive differentiator, the business world will need to call on a larger pool of customer experience professionals to help do this work. The CXPA has and will continue to play an integral role in growing and supporting the customer experience community. In South Africa, the field of CX has taken root in recent years, but the local community has lacked a common focal point. As a member of the CXPA, I, along with several of my fellow CX practitioner colleagues, began collaborating with the CXPA leadership team in the US to explore ways that we could deepen our engagement with the CX community in South Africa, support local knowledge sharing, and strengthen ties with CX professional communities in other markets. Throughout this process, I've had the pleasure of working closely with the global CEO of the CXPA, Diane Majors. I recently had the chance to interview Diane, who shared her insights on the genesis of the age of the customer, the role of the CXPA, and her vision for the future of the association. For anyone who is looking to learn more about the CXPA or the CCXP certification, this interview takes us straight to the source. Diane, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
My pleasure.
I wanted to get your perspective, since you're an expert in the field. What's your thoughts on how the field of customer experience came about? What were the catalysts for this?
I think that companies really began to realize that there was a need to respond to customers in a different way. One, because they were more powered by information. And secondly, because organizations began to realize that customers, because they were more empowered with information, were able to really identify companies they wanted to do business with, that they had more choice, more selection. And the response to that was really, well, how are we going to be different from any other organization? Services and products are so commoditized a few years ago, and even more so today, that companies said, we have no other way to compete other than make our experience different. And so that, I think, really were some of the catalysts for changing the way organizations had to begin to work and how they began to think. And I think what they quickly discovered was that it was no longer going to be okay to kind of randomly provide experiences. They had to be very intentional about it. And they had to be intentional about it in a much more comprehensive and holistic way. So this whole thought of thinking about a journey the customer takes, every single touch point and how important each one of those are, but also how the organization works together and orchestrates themselves around that experience. So I think it was a lot of customers are in control and empowered. Companies had to find a way to differentiate themselves in the marketplace. And there was a need for organizations to collaborate more around providing experiences than doing it in the silo, which we recognize was the way that many customer opportunities came about.
So now that we live in this age of highly informed and connected consumers, and it's led a lot of brands to focus more on customer experience and being deliberate about it, but some have obviously been slower to come to the party than others. In your estimation, what percentage of companies are deliberately focusing on customer experience management?
I'd have to say probably 60 to 70%. But I'll caveat that with saying, I talk to companies who say, oh, of course we're focused on customer experience. And lo and behold, they're not doing much different than they did before. They're using their data a little bit differently to identify pain points and going and finding fixing pain points. But they're not really designing that new experience, or they're not being very holistic and looking at omnichannel, or they're only doing voice of customer and they're giving that to the organization in a different way, but they're not really helping the organization to chew on that or make decisions differently as an organization. So I think it's hard to say, if somebody says they are, there's definitely a range of what people are doing and how successful they are at doing it. It's quantity, yes, how many are, but really also quality of their program and the discipline they're putting in the organization.
So they're sort of doing this to varying degrees then.
Yes.
So of this sort of 60 to 70% of companies, do you see most of them having dedicated in-house customer experience teams?
I would say that it is somebody's responsibility, typically in those organizations, to say, are the driver or the identified prophet, if you will, in the organization. But I'm going to also caveat that with saying you can have a customer experience team or an experience team or even a chief experience officer, but you haven't really gotten the organization to be aligned and accountable to it. So yes, but the success of how well those teams are able to function, depending on where they are and what support they have from executives and what influence they have in the organization, is really how you kind of define a criteria for success.
And what do you think are the critical success factors for success for emerging customer experience teams?
Oh, there's quite a few. So I'll run through kind of a laundry list. I think to be successful, they have to sit in a place in the organization that is agnostic to any other part of the organization. So I see a lot of customer experience teams in marketing. And unfortunately, I think it sets it up for a little bit of a challenge, because if it's in marketing, then, hey, marketing is responsible for customer experience and they must be trying to reach, you know, their goals, and it has nothing to do with us. It really kind of stands in the way a little obstacle. So that's one. I think it should sit in the right place in the organization. Two, I think that to be successful, those companies have really focused on the alignment of the organization. Everybody in the organization knows exactly what they need to be doing differently, how they use information, how they think about designing experience, how they respond, how they have open communication from, hey, I have an idea about customer experience, where do I go? Huge collaboration, so it's part of that, really how the organization works. I think the other thing that comes into play is those organizations who are successful actually understand and measure the value that's being created by the experience changes, whether that's employee or customer, meaning they're not just over-rotating on a score, but they truly understand the impact that the change in experience is having, whether it's driving revenue or reducing cost or driving positive mentions and therefore word of mouth and a reduced acquisition cost. I think those who focus on that are making a lot better headway because they're seeing the impact and getting more momentum. So those are some of the things that I see being important to put in place for success.
And so as companies have begun actively managing customer experience, it's led to the development of kind of an ecosystem of product and service providers to help businesses as they navigate this customer-centric evolution. So beyond just customer experience practitioners and people who are in dedicated in-house roles, what are the other roles within this customer experience ecosystem?
Well, I think the huge part of it is everybody probably kind of moans and groans a little bit about, but it's critically important, is just the data and the ability to not only have your data be in one place and be clean and all those things that we know are like euphoria for those of us in customer experience. Even if they have analytics, for example, it's how they use that information. So we see a lot of companies going to this data-rich insights poor. They don't really know how to use the information in a way that helps the experience be better or sets context for the customer, or, you know, what do we do? We're hearing all these things from customers. How do we break those down into meaningful and important changes to the way the organization works? So I think that's one piece. So whenever I hear somebody talk about, we're going to go get a customer vendor and plug in and do a bunch of surveys, well, start with your data and start with the capabilities you're trying to enable. I also think it's important to think about design thinking. So it's important to have, if you're looking at what providers or services in the space you really need, designers, design thinking is truly a way that moves us from reactive to proactive design, and that takes a different skill set. It also helps with the ability to chew on the data, right? You have an opportunity to solve, and being able to solve that in a way that creates a great experience. So I think that's another gap that I see in the marketplace when people are looking at services and products. For example, sometimes they'll go and they'll look at just somebody to come in and do their journey map. But they don't talk about the fact that the journey map is a catalyst. It's really the activity that's going to uncover things, not the end-all, be-all, check the box, I did my journey map. So it's really important to think about those things as you're looking at service and product providers when it comes to customer experience and what supports you in your discipline.
One of the things that I see personally in my work often is executives and leaders who are looking for kind of a silver bullet. They want customer experience to go away and they want something to fix it. And they're looking for some solution that's going to fix everything. How can you help leaders avoid that mentality, or how can you kind of coach them out of that?
I really struggled with this because the first thing I want to say is there's no silver bullet, or people would be able to basically pull the trigger and experience change overnight. You're changing the behavior and mindset of the organization. This is definitely a huge shift. And you're also changing the behavior and the brand perception of customers. Also a huge shift. So when you talk about silver bullets, I think it is more an internal, how are you going to move the needle and make sure that people understand this is a step-by-step, what I call a million drops of water that turn into a rainstorm that really get organizations to move differently. And the other thing that I talk a little bit about is silver bullets come in all kinds of various ways. If you are able to tell the business case story about what you're doing and you're prioritizing appropriately and focusing on the things that are important to your customers and bringing your employees along, you can put those things in play. They're all part of the barrage of things you need to go do. But there is not a one-all, if I go do my journey map, I'm good. Or if I plug into the UC platform, I'm good. It just doesn't exist. It takes the orchestration of many pieces of music, many players, many instruments that have to come together to make the discipline of customer experience and the change in the organization.
Yeah. And that's something that I think is understandably sometimes overwhelming for executives when they open up the Pandora's box and realize that there is no silver bullet. It's actually a million drops of rain, to your point, and changing it then becomes a part of what you do on a day-to-day basis. It becomes a part of the business as usual. And that, I think, can be overwhelming for leaders.
Yeah, yes, it can.
So when you are working with team leaders, executives, and you see that they're getting overwhelmed with the scope and scale of change required to become customer-centric, to deliver good customer experiences, what are some of the ways that you can help leaders get over that hump?
I'm always surprised whenever I ask someone, so we're going to go forth into customer experience, and I say, well, you have a strategy. What are you trying to accomplish? What's the steps to get there? What are the roles and responsibilities? What defines success? What are you going to do first, second, third, right? I'm always surprised that people don't really have a plan. They typically have here's the big bucket of things we're going to go do, but they don't have a plan for how they're going to move the organization along, how they're going to involve folks. So I think it's really a matter of go back to your change management days and really be thinking about what do I need to do differently? How am I going to get that done? And put that in a roadmap. It's definitely one of the biggest gaps I see. And even with executives, not really defining what do you want your customer experience to be? How do you want that to be delivered? Who needs to be involved in to do that? But those big strategic questions have to be answered and it has to be put into a detailed plan in order for people to know where you're going. If you're trying to define, we're going to have a great customer experience and people don't know what that looks like, they have no way to discover how they contribute to that or what they need to be doing differently. So have a plan and work the plan.
So you just brought up a really interesting point, which is how to define what you want that customer experience to be. I mean, that's a big question. What are some of the ways that businesses can do that to start unpacking and understanding what a good experience looks like?
Yeah, I would say that's part of that whole piece about journey management. Lots of people will go out and do journey mapping, but when it comes to managing that journey to this is the experience we want to define in the future of make it easy, have less than two clicks, have better knowledgeable salespeople, all those big, hairy goals that people put out there, that really will make a good experience and how they're going to track to that. So it's that future state journey mapping. It's defining what success looks like. It's defining what behaviors and what information are you going to get back that will tell you you're successful, right? That's where net promoter score. It's really difficult to say we increased our score, but does it really mean that the experience is great, or are you just getting kind of the status quo? People are still promoters, but might not mean they're promoting you. I think there's lots of activities you can do to kind of define that, but I think it's just having a definition of what success looks like so people know where they're headed.
It takes quite a bit of design thinking because you really have to understand who your end user is and what they want and their perspective if you're going to do that. And design thinking is definitely a skills gap. What are some of the ways that you see companies are successfully building in-house design thinking skills?
Well, I think it starts sometimes with an innovation lab, and I hate to say that that's not a panacea and answer for everything, but some start there and say, if we've set aside a place and a function that is all about how we're going to design new experiences. And I think that's really important, is to have a very specific way, process, support network, skill sets, competencies as an organization to know you're going to go through that. So we see that, you know, with a couple of companies that I've worked in and with, we've actually taught design thinking in a formal way just so people had the skill set and they could think differently about everything they were doing every day to bring that to bear. In addition to, of course, designing new experiences when we saw an opportunity, it was really more of the mindset of how do I start with a customer's needs and back as a human being and back into the solution from there.
So you've mentioned design thinking as something that's important for businesses to do. Data, voice of the customer, is also often a first port of call for businesses that are looking to actively manage their journeys. What's next on the horizon for the field of customer experience?
I believe that we're going to see more of an expansion of what I call, affectionately, the engagement ecosystem. So it's not going to be just about the customer anymore, because we already are seeing this employee engagement, for lack of a better term, but really more now the employee experience. Your employees are customers of your brand, and how are you designing and defining what their experience is like? How they get their work done? Are they having to open multiple programs to get their work done? Do they have hurdles they face every day? Do they feel empowered? So turning that lens of customer experience to the employee, but also the partners and suppliers. You know, brands collapse, and we see collaboration between brands, like when Uber brings you your Starbucks in the car, right? Those types of new thinking and new ways of doing things are going to require brands to work together around designing the experience and the journey. So it absolutely is going to take on a bigger life. But I also think it's going to become much more mainstream. I think that folks are going to really adopt this as an organization and say, okay, that's the new normal of working. You know, now what? How do we become innovative? How do we truly understand that? And we see that with companies that have been doing this for a while and have good experiences, trying to look at how do I disrupt the experience? How do I create new products and services once I get the basics? So that, I think, is another opportunity for us to really think about where we're headed and what we're going to be doing.
That's really interesting. Switching gears slightly, you are the CEO of the Customer Experience Professionals Association. You're probably the best person to provide some insight into what the association is all about and the history behind it. Can you share a little bit about the association, how and when it was founded, and maybe the association's mission and objectives?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be a little bit informal. People can go to cxpa.org to kind of read some of this, but I want to tell you, I think, what makes the organization different. I've been a member since day one. I remember when, you know, Jim Bliss and Bruce Temkin called me and said, hey, we're trying to establish this. There's a lot of people out there that are doing the work, but they just don't know other people exist. I had a few people that I knew, but it was so wonderful to think about a network of people that I could support you and your work and talk to them about, here's the struggle I'm doing. I mean, I got to invent something here. Have you done anything like this? Can you share what you did and what your approach was? Do you have a resource, something I can look at that gives me an idea of where to start? And that really was the whole basis for the organization and starting in 2011. It was about how we can create a community of people doing this extremely hard and extremely valuable work where they feel like they can go and they have tried. And I laugh and I say, you know, my t-shirt always says, you're not crazy and you're not alone. And that can really help you with where you are in your journey, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been a practitioner for a long time. It is a place to go where you feel that way. I think the other thing that's important is to know that, you know, we're a nonprofit association, meaning we exist for members by members, and it allows us to be agnostic to really anything. We try very hard to bring in all kinds of different thinking and thought leadership and disruption and best practices. And it's a by members for members, meaning our members are the ones who make decisions about the content. They contribute to our discussion board. They're heading up our committee. It really is a vibrant reformer. We're not a huge organization. We only have a few staff, and it's really put together by the professionals. So it truly is a place where, you know, these people understand what you're talking about and can really help you out.
It sounds like a labor of love.
Yes, I really believe that it is. Anybody in this profession, I think you probably have heard this earlier from people that you've worked with, when they find this profession, they truly say, this is what I was kind of born to do. This is my career has led me to this. And what's interesting is we were having a discussion the other day about the kind of profile of the person who is a customer experience discipline. They can connect the dots. They have high influence and sales skills. They're definitely collaborators. They have a very much a right brain, left brain approach to things where they can look at it from design thinking and human experience, but also then talk about the business case in same breath. So we find it to be a very interesting profile of folks that are in this space.
That's interesting. What are some of the ways that the CXPA helps support the customer experience community and members?
We have a lot of different avenues to do that. We have network groups, which are local groups with a leader that's been identified in a particular city, for example, who schedules meetings so that there's this in-person opportunity to meet those folks and have discussions. We have a very, very robust and active discussion board where people can post a question. You get people weighing in on what they did or places to go or things to see. We have a mentor-mentee program where we can be matched with somebody. You know, here's the skills I'm trying to learn. Can I get a mentor that's really going to help me with that? We have tons of resources. We're working right now to build those out that are actually like presentations, checklists, templates from practitioners that they're sharing to help other practitioners contribute. We have a lot of content. We have webinars, lots of roundtable discussions. We have national events like CX Days coming up, national conference, 15 members who we've designated as those folks who've been doing it a while and who have the holistic view. And you can pose questions to them individually and they'll weigh in. So you're getting truly, truly that great support and background from people who have been there, done that, that can help you. Or somebody to think through it with you. You know, connecting with another member who may be struggling with the same thing is often also a good way to just learn and say, oh, we can come up with some great ideas here. So those are just examples of some of the things that we do.
I know for me personally as a member, it's been so amazing to just be able to connect with people who are doing the same thing, but in a totally different place and may have different perspectives on things.
Absolutely.
I'm a big fan of the CXPA personally.
Thank you. I am too.
So the CXP has also developed a professional accreditation, which is called the Certified Customer Experience Professional, or CCXP. Why did this industry body decide to create a certification?
We found that we were developing as professionals. It was really difficult for organizations to say, hey, you know, I'm looking for somebody who really knows the full breadth of customer experience, and not just as a VOC analyst or a designer, but really understands the holistic, challenging nature of this work. And we identified competencies that help to say, if people have these competencies, we believe they will be good practitioners and they've done the work. So the certification really came about as a way to validate our profession, but also to then say, these are the people that understand and can demonstrate the competencies of being a holistic CX professional.
So how does one qualify to become a CCXP? What does the process entail?
There's an application that's online at ccxp.org that you can complete. And what you'll notice there is that there are actually requirements, whether you have to be a practitioner for 3 years. When you complete the application, you have to tell a story or demonstrate in writing just the ways that you demonstrated the competencies or faced challenges within the competencies. So it's quite an application process. And then we have a body of professionals who review those applications, people who have been doing the work again a long time, and they review and then they approve. The reason that we have them review the applications is that we have a lot of folks who think they have a working knowledge, but when you really start to talk to them, it's like, hey, you don't know much about design thinking or building a business case. That might be a competency you want to focus on and learn more about before you go and take the exam. So it's really our way of helping them be successful. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the exam is about 3 hours. It's about 100 multiple choice questions. And we have many testing centers around the country where you can schedule, once you're approved, you can schedule your exam. Much like a CPA exam, you go to a testing center and take the exam.
So I'm also a CCXP, as you are, and I often have people contacting me asking about how they can learn more about customer experience and then prepare for the exam. As the head of the CXPA, what would you say are the best resources for people to learn about customer experience and to prepare for the exam?
Oh my goodness, there's quite a few out there. We have several practitioners. We have what we're calling recognized resource, or another called authorized resource trainers. They are folks who apply to be recognized by us as resources. But we also have on the site a lot of resources that will help you. If you go to our resources and information, you'll find that they're segmented by the competencies. So going and reviewing that information is good. There's a lot of books out there right now. You know, the ones we would think about, Jean Bliss, Chief Customer Officer 2.0, Outside In by Harley Manning. Just a lot of great books that you can read. If you look up ccxp.org, we also have resources listed there. We just redefined our questions, and we're developing a list of resources that are specifically built around those competencies. So while we were kind of restructuring the questions and coming up with new questions, we needed to have very factual, data-driven information to create those. And so very soon, we'll have that resource list available as well, which should help folks.
I know when I was personally preparing for the exam, I found the CXPA resource library to be the best source of information for preparing and checking the boxes and making sure that I felt comfortable with the information.
Yeah, absolutely.
So customer experience seems to have initially taken root in the U.S. and the CXPA is firmly established there, but there are also customer experience communities popping up globally. So I'm personally involved with the CXPA here in South Africa, and we're very excited about growing the association locally and strengthening our ties with the customer experience community in the U.S. and elsewhere. What's the CXPA's plan for engaging with the global network of customer experience practitioners?
Well, we've been an international organization pretty much since day one. We're actually in over 73 countries, believe it or not. So we've always had a huge presence there, and we have a lot of network groups that are supporting our international community. So most of the countries have someone who's designated, and they get the local folks together. But it's interesting you bring that up, because we're just launching a new international advisory team, which we had previously, but we really wanted to really step up to the plate and say, what does it take to really support new and growing practitioners across the globe in different languages? How do we bring resources and content from their perspective, from a cultural perspective, from a organization, from an industry perspective that will really resonate with those particular local groups? So I encourage folks in the podcast to watch for volunteer opportunities to be a part of that, or even committees that are helping in different regions to say, here's some things we want to do differently. And then I would say also we're engaging in some of those international events because we want to help understand what's happening in the region and what the needs are, but also then how can we help bring some of those best practices, or as CXPA can help that location perform or support, or what ways can we really do a better job of supporting them. So several things in play that are really helping us to expand in the international market and reach those practitioners and support them.
I would imagine that with the growth into new markets, there's a unique cultural context there, but then also the CXPA wanting to make sure that there's some consistency in terms of the competencies and sort of the philosophies behind customer experience. So finding that balance is probably something quite interesting.
Yeah, and just basically, you know, there's a language differentiation, right? People want the content in a different language. How do we tackle that approach? And so, yeah, there's a lot of wrinkles to it when you start to think about being a global organization. And again, being a nonprofit, and, you know, we're supported by our sponsors and our events and our members. So we grow and do as much as we can with what we have.
So you're coming to South Africa in a few short weeks for a local industry conference that we have coming up here. And I think the local customer experience community is very jazzed about your visit.
That's awesome. Me too.
We're really excited to give you a warm South African welcome. Have you had the opportunity to engage with many other CXPA satellite networks outside of the U.S.?
Oh, yes. We have a very robust group in several in Canada, the U.K. We've been over to several events there. We actually are having our international, I would say, we have always have in the U.S., we have an annual conference, but we're having our next one in Dublin in March of 2019. And that's going to be a global event. So look for information on that. But we've been to Australia for events. It's typically when I travel for events and really evangelizing our profession and presenting on topics and trends. And it gives us a way to really stay in connection with folks and really understand what's happening in the region and how we can best support them back to that piece. So, yeah, we've been to a lot of places. And I just say we, but a lot of our members speak at these conferences and we get feedback from them. A lot of our board members, our committee members, that's really the network of people out there that are bringing information to us and saying, here's the need that we see in a particular marketplace.
So we're fortunate here in South Africa that customer experience has finally taken hold as a strategic imperative for businesses. And as a result, we've got a robust and growing customer experience community. And one of the benefits of being a member of the CXPA is that you have access to opportunities for collaboration and thought sharing, networking with other members. But just as recently as a few years ago, that definitely wasn't the case here. And there are still places where customer experience is a fledgling field and the communities are really small. What are some of the benefits of membership for someone who is located in a market like that, where maybe they're just one of a handful of customer experience professionals?
Well, I think it's one, you know, you can look at our member directory and actually find those folks, which is good. Sometimes you don't know they exist and they might also be members. But then we also have done a lot of podcasts. Like we did a podcast, we did a roundtable CX Day. We're going to be doing roundtables all over the world where you can actually see people in your region speaking on those or contributing resources. And we bring members and non-members in for pretty much anything. We have a lot of folks who contribute who might not be members, but they are absolutely supportive of us and curious about the industry, and they're thought leaders in maybe a different space. We had a company came in and talked about change management, and you know, they were from a site in the UK. They just wanted to give exposure and understanding about what the practice was in that space. And then it's also the ability to not be global yourself, right? You're not going to find exactly the information. You might not have a personal face-to-face relationship with someone, but I have very deep relationships with folks since I started as a member, folks across the world, and still pick up the phone and call them or Skype them or whatever, just to touch base and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. What should I do? So it is also a great way to expand and not just focus just on your region, but really tap a global market of people who are doing this in different regions and areas and industry.
It's one of the things that I've really enjoyed about being a CXPA member is that there's a lot of resources that are available digitally, and a lot of the connections that happen aren't necessarily in person, but it's this ability to connect with a truly global network of customer experience professionals. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Shameless plug for CX Day. We started in New Zealand, like the first day, and early in the morning, and we literally work our way around the globe. So it is an awesome way to learn. Probably the most you're going to see how many people are engaged, how many people are in your region, but just what's going on in the marketplace and this whole profession in the world. So look for that to start. It's actually become almost a week for us. So we start like the Thursday before and go even 2 or 3 days after the CX Day. So just be on the lookout for events that are coming up where you can really take advantage of not only things in your marketplace, but see what other companies in your region are doing. There's company celebrations on CX Day, so always a great way to get connected to different companies you might not even know were in CX.
So CX Day is a way for people to get involved and engaged and connect with others. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love connecting with other folks, and you're delightful to talk with. And I'm so looking forward to coming to South Africa and having those discussions about what we can do to help support the profession in that region.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Diane Majors. For more information about this episode, or to subscribe to my newsletter, or find out more about other episodes of Decoding the Customer, please visit my website, julia-allfelt.com. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle's @JuliaAllfelt. If you'd like to find out more about the Customer Experience Professionals Association, you can check out their website, which is cxpa.org.